Good Sabbath to all. It's a beautiful day. I need no introduction, but I will give one. My name is Lakia Richardson. I live in Blytheville, Arkansas. We've been coming here for probably the past 6 months, 6 to 8 months, and it has been a revelation, spiritual revelation for me. I can't speak for anyone else, but I can speak for myself. And it has been a spiritual evolution that has been just evolved in me. So I've come to love and grow to love each and every one of you and in your own respective places. So it's been a little while since I've done this, but I preach often. I preach and teach often. So this is nothing new for me. And I'm just getting back on the bandwagon right now. But let's go in prayer before our throne, before our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy to ask you for allow our hearts to be open unto your word. And let your word be demonstrated with such power, and let the captives be set free that's in bondage right now, and allow that your word fall with such power and anointing that it will give revelation and set us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week has been a trying week for me. Not to say that I know that I'm not alone. And I pondered on what I should give God's people to speak on. And I had searched and allowed God to speak into my spirit about things that he wanted his people to know about him and his word. So, as I know, around 3 o'clock this morning, I got up. It was just the Spirit just woke me up. And God just gave me the word, the power within. The power within. And how, as children of Israel, and we are Israel, that we have a power that has been instilled and given unto us that's like no other. But we have to know how to access it. And the power of God is so tremendous that it can overtake you and take you to places that naturally you can't go. And the power comes from within. It comes from, you know, reading and meditating in God's word. And I wanted to go to John chapter 6 and the 63rd verse. And it says in John chapter 6 and the 63rd verse, and Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profit nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And the power within, you know. And in Psalm 68:35, it tells us the God of Israel, he is giving strength and power unto his people. And Psalm 71:18 tells us, "When I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation, that thy power to everyone that is come." power within you. And then in Psalms 145:9-11, the Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his work, and all thy works shall praise thee. And they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Power within. And Psalm 147 tells us 5 and 6, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding infinite. The Lord lifted up the meek. And praise God. When we talk about power, we have to think about things that transpire on the inside and it works outwardly. And we have to meditate and think about, you know, how God has demonstrated his love to us. It took great power to hang up on that cross. It took power to lend his hand so they could nail it. It took power for him not to say a mumbling word. It took power to be upheld and lifted high among people and be disgraced. And that was a criminal death. That took power to do that. And we say often that we want to imitate Christ, we want to walk like Christ, you know. But that's great power in that. And in Isaiah 40, it tells us 28 and 29, it says, had that thou not known, had thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might be increased in strength. I know when I think about this past week that it has, some things had transpired, and in my flesh, I was weak. I can honestly say I was weak, and I allowed, you know, sometimes we can allow our flesh to overtake us, and we'll forget who we are, and we'll forget the power that resides in us. But if we learn how to reside with him, meditate with him, sup with him, the power increases. And it's a daily thing. It's a discipline thing. It's not something that happens overnight. And it's a process. And process takes time. And nothing comes to fruition overnight. And in Matthew 28:18-8, it says, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then in Luke 10:19, he tells us, Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And when I read that, especially when I read that in Luke, when he said he give you power to tread, he give you power to walk through some things. He give you power to meditate and to execute your rightful place in him. Because the enemy, he comes to kill, destroy, and steal our joy. But it's our rightful place to execute the power that he has given unto us. As people of God, we are so weak. And there's nothing weak about Jesus. Nothing. And it's an internal thing. It's not so much about, we can exercise our bodies and get it toned and, you know, get a muscle and keep our figure right and keep our waistline, you know, at a minimal. You know, but it's nothing about being spiritually strong. Because when you're spiritually strong, you can endure some things. You can go through some things. And it's not to say that things won't trouble you. Because that's what tribulation is for. It's to trouble you. But in order to have tribulation, you got to, in order to go through tribulation, you got to have a testimony. In order to have a testimony, you got to have a test. And if you have a test, you have to have an exam. And if that determines whether or not you passed or not. And it's in power of God. When it resides in us, it will illuminate. They can see the power of God in you. The enemy can see that. And that's why he fight us the way he fight us. Because when we go in prayer and stay in prayer, intercede for people and people of God, you know, that's building our power in him. And sometimes, you know, not to say that we won't fail, because we will. We're in a mortal body. We're in the natural. That is evident. But when we're spiritual beings, we think about things, we look at things from a natural to in a spiritual sense. And that's when the power takes over. And in John 1, it tells us in verse 12, as many as received Jesus, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That just believe on his name, he'll give you power. Just believe on his name. And when you start to become to believe, you'll start to follow. And you start to follow, you'll read, you'll research, you'll meditate. But it all starts with the little seed of belief. And that's where your power starts to grow. And you know how is it with just friendship or when we're developing relationships with one another, male, female, platonic, romantic, what have you. And you know how is it when we're first in the first early stages of courtship, you know how you come to talk and communicate and find out what one likes and what they don't like and what their favorite color is, what their favorite food is. You know, you come to believe in them. And the same for the other person, for you. That's the same way with God. In order for us to learn how to believe in him, we have to search his word and find him in his word and find ourselves in the words also. And we come to develop this relationship, this spiritual relationship, where we want to find out more about him, more about him, you know. And it's a high that you can't even describe. And as we go through things and our power starts to elevate in Christ and more things we go through, you know, and we don't never, if we fail a test, let me put it like to you like this. A lot of times we fail a test and we're given a chance to take a makeup test or take that course over. And you already know what was on the previous test. You already have an idea what's going on the previous test. You have no business failing it the second time. Especially when you have the open book. We have an open book here. We have no reason to fail God because God don't fail us. His promises are true. And they're honest. And God's ministry has been tried, and it's honest, and it's true, and it's evident in us, a power that's within it. And I think about when Christ was on that cross, and he was in between, you know, two thieves. And I think about, you know, the power that he exemplified before, you know, the spectators, and how, you know, the one on the right says, you know, we deserve our punishment. We deserve this. He said, but this man does not deserve this, you know. And he just looked at him, you know, with such love and humility. He said, you know, in this day you shall see me, be with me in paradise. That's power. He spoke life into him. He spoke redemption unto him. Power. And as Israel, we have to learn the power that we possess. We have to learn how to execute it, not to be in a boastful way, but at the same time, you know, we are not grasshoppers. We look like grasshoppers, but we're not grasshoppers. And in Romans 1 and 16, it tells us, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And that's another power to have, too. When you're not ashamed, you know, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. There go that word belief again. Amen. You can't have one without the other. You got to have some belief in order to and have the instilled power of God on your life. And in 1 Corinthians 4 and 20, it tells us, the kingdom of God is not in word. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And Ephesians 1 and 3 tells us, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That is awesome right there. Blessed be the God and the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And we have to learn how to tell God yes to this power. Yes, to be authentic in our power. Yes, to be compassionate in our power. Yes, to be encouraging and reconciling and be redemptive. A lot of times, you know, we exert power, you know, and I see power being exerted in my daily life, in my natural life, on the job, you know. A lot of times people are given power, but they abuse it. And power, spiritual power, is not to be abused. It's not to be used as a bat or a weapon to belittle, demean, discourage, or push away people. Power, the power of God rests in us in order to draw and revive, uplift, encourage, and, you know, gather and build the power of God. And it's our job to be power in Him, allow the power of Him in us to exert understanding, comfort, wisdom, forgiveness. There's power in everything that we do. That's everything that we do. And praise God, I give, you know, God the utmost because, you know, if some things have transpired in my life and people see me but they just don't know what I've endured in my life, I know that it was the power of God because here I stand, you know, in my mid-40s and I don't supposed to be here. Don't supposed to be here. Didn't supposed to have children, but I have three beautiful children. Had, you know, got married, had, you know, have lived overseas, have learned other cultures. Power of God. I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, and I think back, you know, when I first, the first time I got married, and I was just turned 18. And the first place we went, far as overseas, we went to Rome. We went to Rome. And I was like, you know, God, this little country Arkansas girl here in Rome, God, you are everywhere. God is everywhere. And that was so amazing to me, you know, how powerful God is. And we possess that power. We can go anywhere we want to go within our mind, our spirit, if we're right with God. And I think about on that, you know, when and as some time transpired, we went and we lived in Japan. And I had a tragic accident there. And I stayed there for a whole year and a half. And how I bounced back from that, how God allowed his power to be invested in me. Because he saw enough in me to invest in me that he said, you know, you're going to get up and you're going to walk again. Because at that split moment when he told me that I would never walk again, and, you know, being paralyzed from neck down to my toes, from my neck down to my toes, and you, someone tells you that, and you're just laying there and, like, it's the end of the world. But I was just getting started. And God had set that up. He sets her up from the beginning. Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. So he knows what's going to go on in the beginning to the end. And he knows what's going to happen in the middle. We're just ducking them up. We're just playing it out. And we're just orchestrating what God has set up from the beginning. Because before we was even thought about, God had us on his mind. And he said in his word, you know, what is man that he is mindful of him? I mean, God's got his mind on us, each and every one of us. He thinks about your every need. He has you taken care of. That's power. And we worry about, you know, what we're going to eat. What we're going to put on. I mean, we worry about things that don't even have no significance. Because when this breath of life leaves us, we can't take it with us. And it's not even important. This flesh is going back to where it's rightful on it, to the dust. And the spirit should go back to God, we hope and pray. Because he's the rightful owner of that. And when someone is the rightful owner, they have power. God has power over our breath. He has power over our spirit if we allow him to. We can make the choice either way we want to go in God or for the enemy. It's either or nor. Yay or nay. Anything else is evil. We already read that. It's either or, yes or no, up, down. There's no middleman. The power of God. And then also in my last saying, you know, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, exceedingly is above, more than above, abundantly, that's overflow, above all that we can ask. The thing, just the little things we ask for, he'd be thinking above that. He's thinking about taking us farther in that. Mm-hmm. That we can think. Who would have ever thought, you know, where you think, just think about where you are now at this present state, naturally. Would you have ever thought you had been that way 30 years ago? If someone had told you you would have been driving what you drive, or had the intellect you had, or had the husband you have, the wife you had, if someone had told you that, because had told you that, you'd be like, no, nah, that will never happen to me. I would have never thought in a million years I would have ended up in Japan or Rome or Hawaii. Would have never thought that, because it was something I would see in the history book, and it just, oh, that little country, oh, you know, and see little pictures of the architecture or the culture, or just read about it. But then you find yourself, you're in the mirror, because the power that worketh in us. God help us to steal some great stuff in us. The power of God. The power of God. And I can remember, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, Brother Charles and I, we was having a conversation, and we was talking about the woman caught in adultery. And that was, when I really thought about the significance of that, you know, we think about, you know, that story, we think about, you know, oh, you know, well, adultery, that's a bad thing. True enough, yes, it is. It's a sin, yes. All things that's not of God is sin. Everything. Even a bad thought, that's sin. But I'm thinking about when they brought, the scribe and the Pharisees brought this woman that was caught in the act of adultery. Well, I'm still talking about power. And before they brought the woman to adultery, that was caught in adultery, he was in the temple teaching. How, isn't it something how when you're trying to convey God's power and execute his word, how distractions come? Now, he was teaching in the temple. Just stay with me here. You know, he was teaching in the temple. If I can find that. You never can find it when you ain't looking for it. He was teaching in the temple. By God, I'm just going to follow you. He was teaching in the temple. He was teaching in the temple. And as he was teaching and exerting his power and, you know, giving spiritual bread from heaven, the scribe and the Pharisees brought this woman that was caught in the act of adultery and just threw her in the midst. Right in the midst. You know, you say, now this woman been caught in that very act of adultery. You say, you know, what should we do with her? Now, Christ being who he is and knowing who he is, same way applies to us. The principle, we knowing who we are. We know whose we are and where we are in God. He humbled himself before them. And a lot of times when we're giving, you know, a place to show off, we'll show off. But that be the flesh. That's not spiritual. That's carnal minded. And as before, he could just really, he didn't even speak a word to them. Christ, you know, did the very opposite what they expected him to do. As he was teaching his disciples, or what have you. And they brought this woman in the midst before him, in front of spectators and everything. It's like he just turned his back to him, like he ignored them. Really, spiritually, that's what he did. And he stooped down and he wrote in the ground. And as he was writing in the sand, he was having a conversation with his Heavenly Father. A lot of times, as power, we can't always exert it. It has not to be something. They recognize Christ, but he had to be revealed. And that was throughout his whole 3 years of his ministry. Christ recognized who he was because he evidently and he told them who he was. They recognized him. I recognize you, Tammy. I recognize you, Barbara. But your spirit has to be revealed. And only God can do that. And as this power has been exemplified, when he got up, he said, now, the one that's without sin, you cast the first stone. He said, I'm going to get back. You cast the first stone at her. Y'all move out the way now. And that's all he said. Whoever's without sin, cast the first stone at her. Now, get back now, get back now. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And from the eldest to the least of them. And he said, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, starting from the old to the young, even unto the last. To the very last one, the one that locked up the keys. Yeah. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing in the midst. A lot of people got that misquote there. They think that she was cowered all down or what have you. A lot of times when you boldly been caught in something, what you gonna hide for? She'd been caught. She was standing in the midst. Yeah, I did it. Yeah, I did it. And that's a lot of times, as people of God, we don't want to take accountability for anything. Now, she'd been caught in the act, but she's standing in the midst. Anybody else, they've been shamed, baffled, you know, trying to crawl under something. And my mother used to say, I was so ashamed, I just wanted to crawl under something. But she was standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted himself up, he lifted himself up. That power for the work now. This power for the work now. And saw none but the woman. He didn't see nobody. Okay. And he said unto her, woman, where are thy accusers? Where are they at? Where are your accusers at? Where are they? Had no man condemned thee? Had no man condemned thee? Where are they at? When it's just you and God, there's no one to condemn you. That's powerful. when it's just you and God in your mess, whatever spiritual mess you in, it's nobody but you and God. There's no man that can condemn you. And she said, no man, Lord. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn you. That's power. When you know somebody is a man and you don't condemn them, like, I still love you. Go. Power within. Go. And sin no more. Now, whatever you in, I don't want to hear about this no more. Now, you come with me something different. Sin no more. Power within. That's power within. That's power right there. I don't have no place to condemn you. But I came to give you power. That's above all that works within you. We have to learn how to uplift people and encourage people and draw some things out of them. Power within. Now that was awesome. And especially, you know, the thing about when the woman was standing in the midst. As a girl coming up in Pentecostal, I was told that, you know, she was hiding somewhere. She was so ashamed. Yeah, sure enough. Yeah, sin is dirty. Yes, it is. But when I read that again, she was standing in the midst. When you have power within, you can stand up to anything. You can stand up to anything. When you got power that's within, that's working within, you can endure some things. And I learned that about me too. Just some of the former stuff I've been through, the stuff I go through now, it's just a light affliction. It ain't nothing. Because I've been through some things that should have took me out of here. I'm going to be in a cold grave right now. I'm going to be in a cold grave. Nobody supposed to even have no knowledge of me. But the power that works in us, the power within. We have to, as people of God, we have to learn how to execute this power of God and know when to execute it. A lot of times we've been given things just because, you know, we think, you know, because of who we are or where we came from. But I'm going to leave you with this, the power within. Because he left empty his life, himself, of all beloved. You can be filled. That's power. Because his body was broken. Your life can be whole. That's power. Because his blood was shed, your sins can be blotted out and forgiven. Because he submitted to injustice, you can forgive. That's power. Because he finished his Father's work, your life has worth. That's power. Because he was forsaken, you'll never be alone. That's power. Because he was buried, you can be raised. That's power. Because he lived, you don't have to be afraid. That's power. He reached down because he reached down to you. You don't have to work your way up to him. That's power. Because his promises are true and honest, you can have hope. That's the power within. May God's grace abound you and keep you in all things. And God bless you.